Okay.
This is a question from Maggie. I'm going to butcher your last name, but I'll try it. Maggie Rauschel.
This is going to be our last question.
Yep. From Wisconsin.
This question is on behalf of Maggie Rauschel from Onalaska, Wisconsin. Tim said that people that are interested in the spiritual realm today usually disconnect it from the political power structures, even though the biblical authors saw the two as intertwined or mirrors. However, it seems that the majority of the demons that Jesus was casting out within the New Testament were in individuals that were not politically powerful people.
Yeah, that's a great question. So you're asking about the portrait of spiritual evil in the Old Testament. There's multiple types of bad guys. There's the evil one, right? An individual figure. We have lots of names and titles. There's the snake. There's the Satan, the adversary, just called the evil one. The dragon, Leviathan. Lots of images given to that figure. Then there's a whole discussion we've been having about the heavenly rebels, the heavenly host rebels.
Yeah.
Called the sons of God. The Elohim that are given authority over the nations.
Yeah, and then they don't.
And then they mishandle that.
They mishandle that opportunity. They have, yeah, the nations start.
That's right.
Yeah, worshiping them and sacrificing to them. And they're like.
And so in the book of Daniel, we meet them. They're called the Prince of Persia or the Prince of Greece.
And these are the powers and authorities.
The powers and authorities. So your question, Maggie, is this portrait of spiritual evil on that corporate national level.
Yeah, that national level that God in the divine council, he delegated authority to the nations.
Correct.
And he said, you guys take care of these nations.
Yep.
I'm going to focus on Israel.
Yeah.
Those are my dudes.
Yep.
And,
the other sons of Elohim take responsibility for the other nations.
And do it well because my plan is to bring the nations all back.
That's right. Yep.
And
but they don't do it
they
well.
Don't do it well. Yeah. And the nations start worshiping to them. And so you get this sense of what went wrong.
Correct.
There was some sort of rebellion or at least.
Well, in the narrative, it goes on is that the nations begin to worship nature.
Yeah.
This sun, moon, stars, as well as trees and rocks and sex and war. And Psalm 82 comes along and names that and says the sons of Elohim have abused that position God gave them over the nations.
Yeah.
And he's going to hold them to account.
And that's what, when Paul talks about the powers and authorities.
Correct.
He's referring to that because there is the sense of this corporate, like power over the nations.
Yep.
That when nations are corrupt, it's connected to this.
That's right.
Deeper problem.
Yep. Okay. So let's do Old Testament portrait, New Testament portrait.
Okay.
So we have categories for, there's the snake, the Satan, the evil one.
Yeah.
That carries forward into the New Testament.
The big bad guy.
The singular bad guy. And that being still goes by lots of titles in the New Testament.
Yeah, the dragon.
He's called the dragon.
Evil one.
The evil one. The Satan. The devil. The Diabolos.
Father of lies.
Which means slanderer. Again, there's never one name or title. There is no name. There's just lots of titles for this one.
What if his name's like Frank or something?
Oh my God.
It's just not menacing enough, so we just don't use it.
All right. So let's go to the sons of Elohim over the nations, right? From Genesis 11 and Deuteronomy 32 that we talked about.
Right.
Those are also called in the Hebrew Bible the powers and authorities or the rulers.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes right into the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
That's Paul's whole language of the powers
and rulers
all over the place. And authorities.
He talks about it all the time.
It's everywhere. And Jesus has been exalted over them in his resurrection and ascension. These are the powers from which the church needs to be protected in Ephesians 6 by wearing the armor of God.
Mm.
It's precisely those religious, ethnic, national boundary, tribal boundary lines that are going to introduce division into the multi-ethnic, multinational people of God.
Mm.
So he says, put on the armor. But what in the New Testament, we have one other crew of bad guys
that
we haven't accounted for, and they're also given a number of names. They're called evil spirits.
Mm, unclean spirits.
More often, they're called impure spirits.
Impure spirits.
Ritually impure. It's a word from Leviticus. Impure spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes given the title, a Greek word, daimonion, which just means lesser spiritual being.
Hmm. And that's where we get the word demon.
Where we get the word demon.
Yeah.
Totally unconnected. All the horns and tail and gargoyle stuff comes later.
Yeah.
In later Christian tradition. So where are they in the Old Testament? And this is a new rabbit hole for me, but I've discovered it's there, and it's deep. They are there in the Old Testament. They're there. And I still haven't reconciled myself to how crazy this sounds.
Totally.
But they're there.
I say we don't get into it right now. That's a whole podcast in and of itself.
It is. Wow. I mean, we've raised the issue, though.
Yeah.
They're there.
It's a teaser.
Can I just say, I have to say what they're related to.
Okay, fine.
We can't not bring, I mean. Why are they called impure spirits? There's this scholar of Jewish studies called Clinton Wallen, another scholar called Archie Wright. They've written extensively on this, and there's lots of literature on this, other than just these two scholars. How do things become ritually impure in Leviticus?
I don't really know.
There's just a few ways.
I mean, I know of a couple. There's only a couple,
and the primary one is touching dead bodies.
Right, that's one I knew.
So these are spirits that are impure because they've been in contact with dead bodies?
Perhaps.
That's these guys' case in high-level scholarly
works.
What's
another way you can become impure?
Touching blood.
Blood.
Or semen.
Yeah.
Or skin disease.
Okay.
It's basically contacting anything that puts you into
yeah.
contact with the forces of life and death.
Right.
But corpse impurity is, yeah. is what it's called. And so here's the thing. There is a live tradition going all the way back to Genesis chapter 6. Has to do with the crazy story of the sons of Elohim sleeping with women. And that's connected to the presence of...
giants.
Of giants in the biblical world.
Yeah.
And the giants are called by many titles in the Old Testament. They're called the Nephilim. They're also sometimes called the Rephaim.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rephaim was both a name for ancient giants and for the spirits, the deceased life presence of these beings in the underworld, in the grave.
So Rephaim mm-hmm. is just a synonymous term mm-hmm. to the Nephilim?
Correct.
Why was there two terms?
Oh, each one has its own background and history.
Okay.
We're told in the book of Deuteronomy that the Nephilim are also called the sons of Anakim by the people on the east of the Jordan, the Moabites.
That's how they refer
to them. And the Ammonites.
To them.
And, you know, those people on the other side of the Jordan also called them the Rephaim.
Yeah.
We conquered one of them. Moses did. His name was Og. And he had this gigantic bed. Big iron. This is Deuteronomy 2. Go read it. He says, big iron bed. And Moses says, you can still go see it to this day. dude, this is so crazy.
It's in a museum somewhere.
Yes, it's an ancient museum. You can go see this gigantic bed of Og.
The king that
Moses and Joshua killed. So there's this whole thing about giants.
Yeah. Just to back up,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. We said we weren't going to talk about it, and now we're talking about it.
Genesis 6,
yeah.
The sons of God,
yeah.
The divine council crew, right.
Correct.
Come and have relations with human women.
Yeah,
it's another story.
It's another fall story.
Yeah.
They see of what's good, and they take.
Yeah.
It's now the heavenly beings having a rebellion.
This story's in the Bible.
Yes, it is.
And it's one of those stories that's like, okay, that's weird. But then you actually see this these characters, the Nephilim, the half-breeds.
Yeah, they live on in the story.
They live on in the story.
They're half-divine, half-mutant.
And they're connected and they're connected to yes. these warrior giants.
Yes.
Which isn't just a Hebrew concept.
No. Yes, that's right.
This idea is all over the ancient world.
Totally. The half-god, half-man warrior giants that founded the kingdoms of old.
Yeah.
Babylon's founding legends are about them being founded
yeah.
by these half-god, half-human warrior giants.
Gilgamesh was a warrior giant.
Nimrod yeah. in Genesis 10 is a warrior giant.
Yeah.
Totally.
So these guys are all over the place.
Yeah.
And then Joshua has to fight them.
Yep.
And
well, let's just stop right there. The presence of Genesis 6 then in Genesis is trash talk. Trash talk
yeah.
story against Babylon's founding mythology.
You think it's cool to have these warrior giants.
Yep. You think they're your heroes.
They're
that
your
built
heroes.
Your culture. No, dude.
It's bad news.
They're evil. They founded empires that have done great evil in the world, and God's going to bring them down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's Genesis 6. And the trail that it starts.
Genesis 6 is ancient trash talking.
It's ancient trash talk against Babylonian foundation stories. And so then these characters live on in the biblical story as these reminders of that divine human rebellion in Genesis 6.
Connected. So this is like a third type of rebellion.
It's a third It's another type of spiritual bad guy.
So we've got the spiritual rebellion of the Satan, the snake.
That's right.
We've got the rebellion of the sons of God who are supposed to lead the nations.
Yes, yes.
And now we're talking about a third type of rebellion of these half-breeds, that create these half-breeds.
These mutant giants that in the biblical story represent an unfortunate rebellion of other spiritual beings, other hosts of heaven that did this thing. Okay.
So they're called the Raphaim.
They're eventually, one of their titles is called the Rephaim.
Rephaim.
And the giants exist in the Bible to be killed off by just three sets of heroes.
Yeah.
By God in the flood.
Uh-huh.
By Joshua in the conquest. I have a lot of homework to do here. Michael Heiser's done a lot of this in Unseen Realm. But the whole conquest story in Joshua, if you do your homework, they're targeting the giant clans in Joshua.
Jeez.
It's a giant.
It's a giant purge.
It's a giant purge, which makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Because it's God bringing yet another flood, but through Joshua.
Yeah.
And then the giants are finally done away with by David and his servants. And Goliath
is the final
giant. Is the ultimate giant.
Yeah.
And that story is all meant, it's the messianic prototype, David, fighting the ultimate, an ultimate spiritual bad guy.
Yeah.
Goliath.
Yeah.
It's an archetypal showdown.
Yeah.
And so here's the thing is that if, however, they're divine and human, I know this sounds crazy, but this is the logic.
Yeah.
If they're fully divine and human, then just killing them dead in the ground, they still live
it's
on in some way.
Finish them off.
And so the Rephaim becomes a title for evil spiritual presences that live on to terrorize people. And these are the beings Jesus is encountering in the Gospels.
Now, that's the leap you're to, just to be completely transparent.
Yes.
In the Hebrew Scriptures, the Raphaim are described as evil spirits.
Yes, they are.
It's in Isaiah somewhere, right?
It's in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 32.
Okay.
They are spiritual beings that are the remnant existence of these warrior mutants.
And then you get to Jesus and his encounter with these demons.
Yep.
And you're like, what are these guys?
Where'd they come from? Maybe you've ever asked yourself that. Where'd these guys come from?
What is the deal with these?
Who are they?
Yeah. And I just figured it was like the angels that rebelled with the Satan, with Satan. But they seem different in some way.
That's right. Yeah.
Like Jesus
experiences. They're lurking in graveyards.
They're
lurking out in the wilderness. They get people to destroy their own bodies.
Yeah.
It's very complex. This opens up a million questions, I understand that. But why are they called impure spirits? Where did that term come from? Because that's their main name in the Gospels in the New Testament. And again, these two scholars that I mentioned,
they think it's a clue.
They've made the case that it's a clue to the fact that they emerged from the dead corpses of the giant warriors.
Demons are the leftover spirit remains of the half-breed giants.
In the one story in the Gospels. Oh, it did. It gets in the one story in the Gospels where these beings are given a title, they call themselves Legion. He's right in the graveyard.
Yeah.
Jesus meets that guy in the graveyard.
I am Legion.
It's a crew of these.
Yeah.
And what's
it's a battle. Or it's a
And they give themselves a military title.
Military title.
Legion.
Yeah. Which is also supposed to clue you in.
Clue you in back to Goliath and Og and the Nephilim and all that.
Yeah.
So I know this sounds crazy, but for the biblical authors, this was how they saw things. And this isn't just the New Testament. If you look at Jewish literature in the same time period, everybody's linking the presence of these spirits back to the Nephilim and the sons of God. So this is a new rabbit hole for me. There's a lot of questions I still have, but...
So the short answer to the question is...
Yes.
The demons that Jesus confronts aren't connected to this idea of corporate power and authority.
They're a distinct type of bad guy.
Yeah. They have a different type of bad guy MO.
Yeah, that's right. So there's three types of bad guys
three types of bad
in Genesis
guys.
1 through 11.
Yeah.
There's the evil one. There's the mutant giants who will live on past their death to terrorize individuals.
Yeah.
Then there's the national sons of Elohim that become the powers and the authorities.
So when Jesus is confronting the demons, he's not confronting the corporate, national, powers and authorities.
However,
he's confronting this other strange thing that's happening that's also influencing
people on
humanity.
An individual level.
Yeah.
And then when he goes to Jerusalem in the Gospel of Luke, he says, I'm on the showdown, he calls it, with the power of darkness. And then he goes to Jerusalem and faces the rulers and authorities.
Yeah, so he takes on all of them.
Jesus takes on all three.
All three.
We're meant to see Jesus taking on the Genesis 3 bad guy, the Genesis 6 bad guys, and the Genesis 11 bad guys in the gospel narratives.
Genesis 3 being
the evil one.
Evil one.
Genesis 6 being the Rephaim. And Genesis 11 being the Elohim rulers and authorities. Once you see that that's how the apostles think and how almost all their Jewish contemporaries think and write, it all locks into place. Like, the story becomes so much more coherent. And it sounds even more crazy for moderns to get into this way of seeing the world. But I've said this before. I'm tired of trying to rewrite the Bible to make it more rational.
Right. Make it a little more tame.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, evil as a spiritual reality is hard enough in a materialistic, secular world like wrestle through.
Yes.
And now you're saying, oh, it's not as simple.
Yes.
There's these three layers of evil in the
biblical story.
And
yeah,
Jesus confronts them all.
And Jesus confronts them all, which opens up many more cans of worms that we'll continue to unpack.
I hope that didn't discourage everyone from...
What else can I do but laugh? I never thought I would hear myself talking about these things.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Bible, you got to go where it takes you.
Okay, that's all the time we have for this Q&R. Thanks for all the questions that you sent in. We've got a lot of questions we couldn't get to. We really appreciate them. It's just encouraging to know that some people are listening along and wrestling through this with us. We're going to jump in next week talking about, well, we're not entirely sure.
To be decided.
To be decided.
It will be in the God series.
It will be in the God series.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we're a nonprofit animation studio. We also make this podcast and other resources. It's all for free because of a lot of people who are joining us to pitch in and make it free, which is awesome.
Yeah, you guys are amazing.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for your support.
Yeah, thanks for being part of this with us.
Hi, this is Jack Sammons. I am from Lake Oswego, Oregon. And what I like best about the Bible Project is all the drawings. And my favorite project is Genesis. We believe the Bible is a unified story that leads to Jesus. We are a crowdfunded project by people like me. Find free videos, study notes, and more at thebibleproject.com.